Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You know, you get wide variety of music on this show. We went, I can't remember what you bumped back in at 12:30, but it was polar opposite of
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, and then we get to Eminem. Here we go.
You know?
Why not? 1 o'clock hour on a Wednesday. Hope everybody's having a good day.
I was debating what song. I was like, you know what?
That's fine. Eminem. It's all good, man. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon producing the show. You guys can hit us up on the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, we'll get to the biggest difference, I think, that has happened the last couple weeks with this Texans team. But I think it's very obvious if we were to ask who potentially could wreck this thing to the point where the Texans win, you might think, oh, well, C.J. Stroud, he could just go off. That's definitely a possibility. It's a quarterback. I think more likely it's what we've discussed about the left tackle spot and therefore who's going to be opposite those tackles throughout the game. And that's Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter. Yeah, I know Stingley's a great corner. I'm not as worried about their corners. I'm more worried, of course, about Will Anderson. He's a game wrecker. That's the easy answer to this whole thing, right?
I think so. I mean, you could say Daniil Hunter. I don't think Derek Stingley Jr. is out of the question, or Nico Collins is out of the question. Nico Collins still provides, depending on the health of Jalen Hurts, a matchup that the Chiefs have not guarded well this year. Like, especially in the absence of Jalen Watson. Especially in the absence of Jalen Watson. They had a really, really, really hard time with big physical wide receivers. You might have heard Trent McDuffie talk about Nico Collins in his press conference yesterday, in which he said, I call those kind of guys complete receivers. They run routes. They catch with their hands. They are tough to bring down. They kind of do everything. If you made me single to one player, yeah, probably Will Anderson. He's pretty good. It'd be him or the combination of him and Daniil Hunter that would probably be at the top of my list. Because that's the part, coupled with the Chiefs' bad offensive line play for a majority of this year, where you see things completely imploding. Nico Collins could have 120 yards, and I still think the Chiefs win.
Exactly.
If Will Anderson's got a couple of sacks and they're not stopping Daniil Hunter, I might feel very different about this game.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like C.J. Stroud can definitely have a great game. I just don't know if that's how they win, right? Like, C.J. Stroud against this Chiefs defense, what is the stat line look like if he goes and has a great game? And is that good enough to actually win? When the Texans, throughout this season, you know, last week they had defensive turnovers. That's why their point total got up there against the Chargers. They won comfortably. It wasn't because C.J. Stroud and the offense was just lighting them up throughout. No, it was the defense of the Texans completely shut out 4 interceptions against Justin Herbert. So it's all about the defense. Yeah, Nico Collins is a very tough matchup. I think the Chiefs will have to be very careful with that. But I'm not worried about C.J. Stroud throwing for 380 and 4 touchdowns. Okay, I have no reason to believe that that's happening in this year's Texans team. A year ago, maybe. Not this year's, and this Chiefs defense, let's be real. It's just not, that is not a good offensive line for the Texans. So I do believe Amenihu and Chris Jones and Karlaftis will once again get after him. It's all about whether or not the Texans defense can do the same to Mahomes. Can Daniil Hunter make Mahomes have to get the ball even quicker than he has, and therefore it causes problems down the field, and all of a sudden he throws a pick because he makes a bad decision, something he hasn't done in a while. Like, it's defensive related. That's the formula. If you're trying to put together what it looks like for the Texans to upset the Chiefs, it has to be a dominant defensive day for the Texans. It's not about C.J. Stroud to me.
C.J. Stroud has won playoff games in each of the last 2 years, so I don't think he's a non-performer, or at least his team's not a non-performer in the playoffs. I think a lot of this kind of goes from the difference between what I will allow your ceiling to be when I've never seen you play a single other down in the NFL. So last year, he's a rookie. He throws for 4,000 yards, a rookie record. It's like 4,100 yards, 23 touchdowns, right up there for one of the single best rookie seasons ever. This year, he put up, they're not even like that far apart in stats, 3,700 yards, 20 touchdowns versus 23. Threw a lot more interceptions, 12 interceptions this year versus 5 last year. But it is not a dramatically different year. but I didn't see the uptick. And if you had asked me last year, do I fear C.J. Stroud, a rookie quarterback, coming to Arrowhead to take over a game? No. And so
the Texans were now, more dangerous last year, though.
Yeah, they were. And now I'm in a second year, and the person who picked on them the most in the first game was Tank Dell. And Tank Dell's not even in this game. He only made it through half of the last game before, obviously, that very horrid injury took place and ended his season. So I think it's on the defensive side. If you made me say the Texans win if. Because that's really what we're asking when we say which player. The Texans win if Will Anderson completely takes over the game. I think the answer has to come on the defensive line. And largely because of what we've discussed. What if it's DJ Humphries? What if it's DJ Humphries at left tackle? And Will Anderson tees off. And by the time they bring in Joe Tooney, there's not enough time to save it. And if they get into that position, well then, yeah, the Chiefs could have a real problem on Saturday afternoon at, what, 3:30? Is that what time the game is?
Yeah, right here, 96.5 The Fan.
Your home for Chiefs football and Royals baseball. Your home for Kansas City sports, as I'm told. At least when we initially, are we still going with that?
We are.
Okay, cool. Just making sure.
What, you think that just ended? You
just
think
it's like over? Fan club, you know?
You think it's over? Changed,
maybe they, you know.
That like, is definitely our station.
Maybe they heard a tagline and they
branding.
Were like, let's hear it one more time, just to be sure. It appears we're sticking with it.
We are.
Okay.
Yes. We are.
Drew, hold on. Okay, he says we're sticking with it.
Yes.
I'm pretending like I'm talking to somebody behind closed doors. Anyway, not for those who are not watching on the camera. I just think it's obviously Will Anderson. I think that that's the choice of the one guy who I think can completely take over a game. Can I toss in one little sneaky pick?
All right, let me hear it.
Because the Chiefs have not been beaten in this way, so it seems incredibly unlikely, but if it did happen, you'd know the game was going south. Joe Mixon. It's the only play. Yeah. I only mention him because
had a great year.
If he had a really good game against Kansas City, it's going south. I don't foresee that because they've been really good against backs. But that's one player that if like it was going that kind of way for them and Mixon was just having a day, that's a problem.
He's been great this year for them. I mean, there's no denying that he was a 1,000-yard back for them. If without him, considering all the injuries, I wonder where this Texans team would be, honestly. When there was plenty of weeks where C.J. Stroud really was struggling, the O-line struggled, and you know Nico Collins was out earlier on in the year. If it wasn't for Mixon, yeah. Now, if you're wondering, it's the Chiefs in the earlier loss a couple weeks ago. 14 carries, 57 yards. We know the Chiefs' track record against backs has been phenomenal this entire year.
Better than the postseason.
Last week against the Chargers, 25 carries, 106, but the Baltimore game, he had 9 carries for 26 yards. The Miami game, he had 12 for 23, 14 for 22 against Tennessee. So there's still some duds in there as well, but he's had a really nice year. I would, to your point, be stunned if Mixon went off. That would mean something happened injury-wise on the defensive line. Like, that's just not what, whether it's Pinnell, Chris Jones, who's gotten better as a run-stuffing defensive lineman. That's typically not how we've described him, but he's been much better this year, and he's fresh, and it's playoff time, so I know the run-stuffing buy-in's going to be higher than it was probably in week 15, whatever the heck it was.
Other than Mahomes, 16. Who do you think Texans fans are answering the same question to? We can ask this of a Texan guest later in the week.
Yeah.
But who do you think? Do you think they're saying Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown?
Problems,
Chris Jones.
So they've had a bad
offensive
line. It's Chris Jones. My guess would be what they would answer in Houston if it's not Mahomes. Because, the O-line has been really bad.
And he's a force.
Really, really bad. And Chris Jones is one of the best defensive players in the league. And he has been able to either himself get the sack numbers. If not, then he's allowing Karlaftis or Menihue to eat. Like, maybe Chris Jones doesn't get a sack on Saturday. He might not, but Charles Menihue's probably getting one then, or Karlaftis is getting one, or Mike Dana. Like, we've seen that play out this year. There's been some games where it feels like Chris Jones wasn't getting near the quarterback, and then you go back and you watch, like, well, yeah, that's because there's two guys holding him down, maybe even actually holding him, as in should have been a penalty.
And Menihue's just walking past him because they just decided not to block him rather than quadruple team Chris Jones. You and I were having a conversation earlier, and I'm curious what your other fans' answers are. 913-586-7965. Who is the player that you think will go off in the playoffs for the Chiefs? Because I obviously have leaned towards Kelce the entire time we've done the show. It steered me well.
Yeah, you said he would never age. This year,
he did. You know, it's tough because I think even he's openly admitted to.
But in the playoffs, does it matter?
Like, I was watching an episode of New Heights, and Will Ferrell was on. And Will Ferrell gave Travis Kelce a hard time because he said he didn't really dunk the ball over the goalpost.
He didn't. That's
true. He was like, man, I don't got the ups I used to.
So yeah, even Tony got up a little higher on those dunks back in the day. That's true.
Yeah, but in fairness, Travis was a little bit further down the line.
How about that? Will Ferrell and LeBron James on their podcast last week. Jeez.
Wow. mean, try to get some bigger guests. You know? I mean, connection. Yes. And Caitlin Clark. Try to get some bigger name people on your podcast.
But to your point, in the playoffs, it's different for Kelce.
I think Travis Kelce is getting ready to go off. I think you should all prepare mentally for playoff Travis Kelce again. It'll look like a rewind of the clock, turn back the clock, whatever phrase that the eventual broadcast crew goes with on Saturday. Who is the broadcast?
Buck and Aikman.
Okay. Whatever Aikman decides to go with, looks like he's turning back the clock. It's coming on Saturday, because Travis Kelce in the postseason is a different monster. And I think it's because of the speed of the game. I think it is the simple thing, and I don't think this is an old adage because it's not true. I think the idea that everything speeds up on you and you have to make decisions faster and teams who aren't used to it make decisions slower affects the people trying to guard Travis Kelce, because he already knows what he's going to do. He's two steps ahead of you under normal circumstances, maybe one step ahead this year than you under normal circumstances. The playoffs kick up, and he beats you in that scenario. I think he's going to be 6-for-80 and a touchdown for the next three games, just like every other postseason.
A year ago, we saw what the time off meant. He was a Hall of Fame tight end again in the postseason. He was fresh. He knows what's on the line. He has a switch he individually can flip. Not just the team. He's a big part of that, of course. So it would not stun me at all. In fact, almost an expectation to this point.
It'd be kind of weird if he didn't.
That he has a huge postseason. The other name, though, I would throw out, and it's because he hasn't played a ton in the postseason. There's motivation. He's a vet. He came here to get a ring. He still is very high on the list of players I would trust to make a play for this offense. I'm talking about DeAndre Hopkins. I know typically last month it's been 3-4 catches, 40 yards, something like that. I believe DeAndre Hopkins is going to have a massive postseason for this team. I think the snap count is going to all of a sudden increase significantly.
I would like
to think if his snap count goes up, his targets will as well. And he's going to put up some more impressive numbers. I don't know if he'll be the leading receiver all postseason by any means. That could be Xavier Worthy based off of what he's been doing. But I believe DeAndre Hopkins, it would not stun me if we're sitting here over the next couple weeks, assuming they go on a run, and D-Hop ends up with a couple games where it's 80-plus receiving yards and a couple touchdowns, and we're like, wow, here we go, contested catches in the end zone.
What's the best game we've gotten out of DeAndre Hopkins this year?
Would have been...
What was the one?
Not the Raiders game.
Like the second one? Oh, no, Raiders. It was a Raiders.
It was a Raiders.
For 90.
There you go, it was Raiders.
Was his best game of the season. He didn't get a touchdown in that. Or the Bucks. 8-for-86-2? That's probably the one.
It was the Bucks game, then.
Bucks game. 8-for-86-2. So he's had two games in the time he's been here in Kansas City that you're describing. He's had two games like that. 4-for-90, and 6-for-86 with two
scores.
And
look at the snap counts going down ever since those two games.
I know, and I'm just assuming it's because they were protecting him.
The pick, too.
Yeah. And Xavier Worthy started doing better. And the pick, I hope that they, like... I don't normally want teams to play that game between a fourth and a fifth round pick, but I guess it's still possible. What were you going to say, Drew?
So I don't know if I wonder about Hollywood Brown, just in terms of his, because you know he's 100%, like he's 100% for the games that he played in, but now he's got more familiar. He's played a couple games. In those two games that he played against Houston and Pittsburgh, he had 8 targets and 7 targets, and he had 45, 46 yards in both of them. Not to say that he can go off necessarily, but I wonder if you might just have a game where, hey, they're going to key on Xavier Worthy a little bit more. Maybe this is the game that Travis kind of has a really good one because the DBs are so good with Lassiter and Stingley. But let's say they win. I don't know if I'd be totally shocked if they played Baltimore and Hollywood Brown had 8 catches for 75 yards and a touchdown or two. I don't know if that's going off or if that's just really good production, but I think Hollywood Brown might be a guy to watch in this that hasn't been brought in.
We definitely saw right away why there was so much excitement in the offseason about what he could do. We didn't get to see it in much of the regular season, but the minute he stepped on the field this regular season, immediately like, wow, what could have been, in a way, if you're Hollywood Brown from his own statistical aspect of the season, you know, what kind of numbers could he have put up? And it would not surprise me if he's a huge part of the offense. Yeah. I mean, I think it was very evident that against the Texans or Steelers, I mean, he was a pretty big focus for this offense.
I mean, it'll be easy for people to say, and look, we'll never know. We've already discussed this. It'll be easy for people to say, like, he was going to be a 1,000-yard guy, just based on what you've seen.
Yeah.
Now, I could just be like, I don't know, man, it's three games. But, you know.
But if he goes from the Houston game on in this postseason, if he's averaging 80-plus yards receiving in the postseason, coupled with what I saw, then I don't think it's a huge leap. We'll never have the answer. You're correct.
Yeah.
But
No, it's not a huge leap based on the 2-game sample size, but I'd like to see more to do it. I was gone.
They just spread the ball around so much, though. So we're trying to give answers on Kelce or Hopkins or Hollywood Brown.
And everyone just has 4 for 50.
They spread the ball around so much, and they're so difficult to match up with. That's not a problem either.
Somebody had sent me a text. I'm just now remembering this now that we're talking about Hollywood Brown. When I was gone last Thursday for family-related stuff, did Sean Barber say that Hollywood Brown was going to get $80 million?
Yes.
Was that the amount? It was like some
There was
number.
A whole money conversation whole around. Thing. That was 80? A whole money conversation.
There was a...
He thought he was getting 80 million?
There was more beyond just Hollywood, but
it
yes.
was an interesting day. I love Sean Barber filling in. It was a...
Hot take Barber.
It was an interesting day, yeah.
He's saying to trade Joe
happy
Burrow.
Happy late birthday, by the way. We didn't say it on air yesterday. Barber, the big 5-0.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh, a big birthday. Mm-hmm. Milestone. Barber and I are exactly 10 years apart, huh?
There you go. Yes.
He feels quite a bit younger than me. That can't be good for me. He just like...
Sorry, he told me last week
he's got
that...
energy.
Sorry, last week I said, hey, I'm going to start slowly going to the gym, you know, just basic stuff. And he's like, you're screwed. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, I'm like, thanks. And he said, well, because I should have started with the diet stuff first. He's like, you're already in trouble. I'm like, well, okay, well, I already signed up for the gym.
He nitpicked your plan.
He said, I should have called him first and not signed up for a gym yet and done the, and he might be right, I don't know. And he said, should have done the diet stuff for 4 months and then gone to the gym. I'm like, well, it's too late. I already signed up. I've gone twice now, basically.
For the reasons you're going, though, Gold, I don't.
That's two more times than last year.
For the reasons you're going, I don't think it was a problem. Barbara thinks probably that you're really trying to get,
well,
like,
yeah, I would love a personal trainer and a chef as well, and oh, let's go, baby. Let's
Barber
do it. I'm not saying he does. I'm just saying in general, like, yeah, if I was like one of those actors that were trying to get ready for like a role where you're gonna be shirtless the whole movie and their only job for 8 months is to get ripped.
Like Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yes.
He's a great example of it. He looked like me and then now he looks like a freaking G.I. Joe. So yeah. Him.
If that
probably.
Was your only job 24/7 was here's the food you're going to eat and all you do all day is work out and
seems
you have.
Like, it seems like I wouldn't enjoy it.
No, you might be miserable.
I mean, you'd also be getting paid a lot of money as well, while you're doing
it. I'd have to be because I'm not doing it for fun.
I mean, these movies we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I do wonder. So real quick, in regards to the conversation that we both had about both teams, like key players, we talked about Will Anderson, Daniel Hunter. I wonder like if Stingley or Lassiter are in that conversation.
They're good.
Who can go off? Like, if Stingley's having that sort of a game, maybe it's a combo. If both of those guys are locking down, because you mentioned, Cody, I believe it was, Samaje Perine was the second leading receiver in that game.
Yes, he was.
And Xavier Worthy was first. Say they do a better job at covering Xavier, and you don't get that game from D-Hop where you're like, oh, yeah, he's going off.
Then they have Hollywood Brown.
Kelce, Hollywood.
That's the thing. I think they're really tough to match up.
But I wonder if it's the both of them. Like, if they're having trouble finding guys getting open in general... Travis Kelce either has to go off or they're just wrecking the game, those guys, single-handedly if they're able to cover.
Here's the problem with, like, I fundamentally understand that the Houston Texans defense is playing better, but I also think it might be a mirage in the middle of the desert. Here's the points they have allowed to the winning teams that they have faced, right? So, again, I go, how many did they let up last week to the Chargers? I guess I'm not including that one. This is the regular season. They did really good against the Chargers. They let up 12 points to the Chargers.
4 turnovers.
They won what?
Second to last week of the season, they faced Baltimore and allowed 31. That's a winning team. They allowed 27 to Kansas City. Yeah, sure, they let up 20 to Jacksonville or let up 27. They let up 32 to Tennessee. Detroit before that, 26. Like, for sometimes this goes back to like what the Chargers have been. Currently what's happening with the Texans is you're falling in love with the names and not the defense. We all know Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Derek Singh. We know those are great NFL players. Their defense has not been good despite that. It's not a good defense. It was in the bottom half of the NFL for a huge chunk of the season. And for the last month, their defense has been playing a lot better. But two of those games were against Miami and Tennessee, and they allowed 29 points a game between Kansas City and Baltimore. And they're coming off a game in which they look good, which is something we talked about on Monday that I think people misidentify all the time in the playoffs, which is the team who was getting ready to face Kansas City was always going to look kind of good. They just won a playoff game. Like, they don't come in there looking like they didn't win the game 3-2 in most scenarios. They usually come in looking good, Gold. Why? Because they just beat a team in the playoffs. But if you factor in the rest of the regular season, they won three of their last six games. They lost to Tennessee, Kansas City, and Baltimore. They beat Tennessee, Miami, and Jacksonville.
So you're saying it's a lot like Baltimore's defense, where they've improved a whole lot, but you look at the opponents that Baltimore's had. While they've ranked number one in the league in multiple categories, it's not.
It's all still about...
Theirs is even lighter.
It's all still about, to me, Will Anderson. Like, the corners can be great, but like, to me, the corners aren't wrecking the game, not with this Chiefs offense. It's what... It's Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. Those are the only guys that can wreck the game for the Texans. Like, and it doesn't...
Mahomes has no time to throw.
Stingley's an all-pro and everything, and he's a great corner, but it's just I can't imagine him wrecking the game because... All right, you shut down Kelsey, or you shut down, as we were talking about, Xavier Worthy. Okay, I have enough elsewhere.
Unless he's forcing to attack turnovers.
To me, they're not forcing turnovers unless Mahomes is running for his life. So that it goes back to Will Anderson and Neil Hunter for me. Like, how does Mahomes throw a pick to the secondary? It's because he's all of a sudden out of sorts, and it's because of the pressure that's getting to him. So we'll see.
It does feel like Derek Stingley's, and this is anybody, this is Trent McDuffie's problem there for a while when they weren't getting pressure either. It's really hard to play corner, even if you're a great corner, if there's no pass rush.
So somebody on the text line did mention that Al Shaair was suspended for that game against the Chiefs. He'll be back for them.
Linebacker helps them out in that area. That's true.
Suspended. I mean, my bigger concern is I don't like when the Chiefs play any play dirty. Yeah. He's got a history of dirty plays. I didn't like when they were in a game against Vontaze Burfict. I don't want somebody leaving
injured. Mahomes is going to be running up the sideline at some point in this game. It's playoff time.
Great. And he's going to get a free 15, so as long as he doesn't get hurt.
Yep.
I was going to say, just make sure he doesn't.
As long as he doesn't do what Osai did there for Cincinnati in that playoff game.
Oh,
you remember that? Do you remember that play? Do you remember that play and what happened after?
Sure, I remember the play.
Definitely a penalty.
It's still not the most heartbreaking moment I've had as a Bengals fan before. Not even close.
It's not even
in the Joe Burrow era.
Losing the Super Bowl.
No, it is not that one either.
Oh.
The game where they were... A.J. McCarron was playing for them. Andy Dalton had gotten hurt. Andy Dalton was having an MVP season.
How much hope did you have with A.J. McCarron to begin with?
Hang on. They were beating the Pittsburgh Steelers with Big Ben. They had everybody. They had Antonio. They had everybody. They were up 15-13 in that game.
That sounds right.
And Vontaze Burfict hits Antonio Brown. But this is the thing. That was a penalty. Joey Porter walks onto the field as a head coach and is touching the referee. Pac-Man Jones is trying to get the ref's attention. Like, hey, he's on the field. He shouldn't be on the field. Flag's thrown. Everybody's like, oh, great. The flag's on Pac-Man Jones and not on Joey Porter and the Steelers. And they kick the field goal and they win the game. Most heartbroken I have ever been. Not close.
As you're just bringing up like weird things that have happened in games, I still think if it was a different coach, people gave this coach a hard time. But, you know, we talk about Mike Tomlin. I still think it's wild we've all just forgotten that this guy literally stuck his foot out on the middle of a punt return to stop. He got fined and suspended for it. But think about it. You know,
intrusive thought got him,
dude. You know how crazy that is.
It's just an intrusive thought got the better of Mike.
You know how crazy that is? The question is, in the Super Bowl, do you want your coach doing that to save your season, to save your team's title?
Catch it, yeah.
Well, no, they're going to catch it, but your coach is going to be suspended in the next season and everything like that. Like, would you risk that?
Yes.
Would you want your coach to risk it? If it was like, hey, your team's up three, but it's clear he's taking this to the house and time's going to expire. You're going to lose on a walk-off kickoff return for a touchdown.
Yes, I want him to do it.
And you want it, or a staff member to go out and trip.
I probably prefer it isn't Andy. He's had knee surgery and hip surgery. You know, we don't need that.
You'd see bring the guy in from Georgia who ran into the ref or whatever.
That feels like Tobe's job. But he's got a good, strong leg. That's Dave Tobe job. Your job's to trip the guys.
Could you imagine this?
Special teams is a special team.
What would they do? Because
you know?
I don't remember the exact suspension and fine for Tomlin. It was significant. But in a Super Bowl like that, what would they do? Would they ban that coach from the league? Would they just say, you're done? You're done.
Or would they eject him from the game
itself? Let's just say like it went the way you said. So now instead, they only have a chance to kick a field goal. They miss it and the other team wins. So by tripping this player, they have cheated.
Yes.
Winning the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. I think they have to, in the Super Bowl, I think they have to ban the coach for life.
I think not for life. I think like a show cause, 1 year.
1 year ban.
I think a 1 year ban.
But what
do
you do about the game? Like,
you can't assume the touchdown. You never, the NFL, in any
never rule, assumes
in,
a touchdown.
In any rule, you cannot just put points on the board. Though we all know he would return, you can't put points on the board. That's not how that works.
He could drop the ball before the goal line.
Yeah, you cannot put points on the board.
Oh, that'd be sick. That'd be so
can you?
Sick.
I mean, I don't even know. I mean, honestly, I don't even.
There'd be people who were saying it was never a three. I can't do this. I can't live in this hypothetical. Just be the worst.
If you're on the losing side of it,
I'll take the Chiefs out of it. Any team. Any team in the Super Bowl.
Sick. I think a 1 year ban.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending. And then earlier today, our Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker joined us. We'll get his perspective on what's happening in college football with some transfer portal moves, as well as how he sees the Chiefs matching up against the Bills or the Ravens. If
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday, how can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
They handle their business this weekend.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. College basketball last night, we talked about the Missouri Tigers, a win over number 5 Florida, their biggest win since joining the SEC. They are in line to make the NCAA tournament. Should be ranked next week, as a matter of fact. Also, K-State lost to Texas Tech yesterday. Tonight, Kansas, Hilton Coliseum, a top 10 matchup. They're 6.5-point underdogs against the Cyclones.
Next up in what's trending, Quinn Ewers is officially heading to the NFL draft after that was reported by Pete Thamel earlier today. Currently projected to be around a mid-round pick. I think that could go higher based on the lack of NFL talent in this year's NFL draft. Still, I kind of thought he'd go back to college, the same as Carson Beck and some of these others. Arch Manning will be the starter in Texas. Quinn Ewers heading to the NFL.
Quickly, a few notes in the NFL today. Cowboys did request an official interview with Robert Saleh. This is the first known official interview request, this point in time. I know they've talked to Dion, but that wasn't an official interview. Also, the league announced next year's season will open up in Berlin. The Colts will host that one. We don't know who they'll face, but it will be the Colts in Berlin, just like they did this past year in Sao Paulo, Brazil, but it'll be Colts in Berlin.
I also saw that Mike McCarthy is getting an official in-person interview with the Chicago Bears, only the second in-person interview they've done so far. Flying his ass out private, it said.
Well, I mean, I didn't think he was flying Southwest.
That'd be hilarious. You're sitting next to Mike McCarthy on Delta as he's getting
He's got ties to the Kansas City area, so you know, maybe back in the day you might have. His daughter went to KU, I think, right?
Maybe.
Anyway, that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, we were joined by our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Of course, he's the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, the daily NFL podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. We started the convo about what you just mentioned, Quinn Ewers, because why not just, you know, stay in school, hit the transfer portal, and earn your money that way?
1,000%. Yes. I mean, to me, if you're not a first-round pick as a quarterback, projected first-round pick, or you think you're had a great chance to go in the first round, you should absolutely go in the transfer portal. You know, those guys are now getting, you know, I know there's a lot of numbers out there, but realistically, those guys are getting between $1.5 to $3.5 million a year. I think some of the numbers aren't real accurate. And, you know, Quinn Ewers would be about as sought after as anybody. Now, the only thing I don't know is how many programs still need a guy. You know what I mean? Like, I know, like, Penn State's backup. He hit the portal. He's from right around here, and he would play, like, 5 to 10 snaps for Penn State. They would bring him in for special situations. He hit the portal right when the playoff run happened because he wanted to get his spot somewhere else before it was too late. And he signed with Missouri, and he's evidently getting $1.5 million from Missouri. So he's down there with you guys, and I presume he'll be their starting quarterback. His name is Bo Prabula. He reminds me a lot. I don't know if you guys remember this guy from college. He kind of bounced around the NFL, Trace McSorley.
Yeah, I remember Trace.
You know,
I mean, another Penn State guy. Yeah,
undersized guy, but a winner and fast, and that's kind of what Prabula is like. If there's any Mizzou fans listening, I think he'll do well there. But the only thing I would say about Ewers is maybe he, you know, it took him a few days to do this. So maybe they looked and saw what was out there, and maybe nobody had a need where they would give him like what Carson Beck is getting, $3 million or whatever, to go to Miami. Maybe Ewers couldn't find that. But unless you're a first-round pick, I would highly recommend at the quarterback position in particular hitting the transfer portal. First of all, you know, the reason to go to the NFL from college used to be because you couldn't get paid in college. If you can stay in college and get paid, like, I'll go back right now.
You might do have some eligibility.
You're in college and you're getting over $1 million. Can you imagine how fun college would be if you were getting $1.5 million to play football? Like, you, I mean, I'd wake up in a ditch somewhere. Like, that would be unbelievable.
Just passed out in some drained pool.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys want to come over to my hot tub? Like, I bought an off-campus mansion. You want to come over to my house? No, it's not my parents. It's mine. I bought it. It's my own money. I mean, it's like incredible. So, yeah, I think Ewers is probably – here's the problem. You guys know this. You're either a first-round pick or you're, like, third or fourth because you're not going to take him in the second round unless you think they're a starter. And if you think they're a starter, someone's going to take him in the first round. You're not going to take a guy in the second round to be a backup. You're just, like, those guys end up falling. You know, every year, whoever, like, name the guy, Spencer Rattler, whoever, like, any guy that fits that category – you look, next thing you notice, they're not getting drafted until like the fourth or fifth round.
Let's take a look at some of the games this weekend. We can get to the Chiefs and Texans here in a minute, but obviously the single biggest game of the weekend is Ravens-Bills and a possible future opponent between the two. It seems like the national narrative, Ross, is the Ravens are a bad matchup for the Bills. The Bills are a bad matchup for the Chiefs, and the Chiefs' best matchup of those two is probably the Ravens. Is that kind of how you see it? Because obviously I think those two teams are pretty even between the Ravens and Bills.
I think the Ravens are better. I think the Bills have the advantage of playing at home. I mean, you look at it, and it's like the Ravens have 6 All-Pros. The Bills have 1, Josh Allen. Like, that's crazy. And the Bills have some good players, but they don't have the talent level that the Ravens do. I also think the Ravens, you know, with their ability to run it with Henry, they really have a formula that could beat anybody. It's funny. I don't know if we talked about this last week, but I have a betting podcast that I do on Tuesdays. It's called the Even Money Betting Podcast. And on it, my co-host, who's, you know, a big numbers guy, he's a professional bettor, he says that the Ravens are by far the best team. And the logic behind that, they average, guys, more than half a yard more per play than any other team in the NFL. That's super impressive. The thought process is that the Bills being like plus 24 or whatever they are in turnover margin, that's great, but there's a lot of variance there, and that doesn't, you know, you could have a game like Packers-Eagles where the Eagles win the turnover battle 4-0, or, you know, Herbert throws 4 picks when he's only thrown 3 all year, meaning that it's not really a predictive stat, I think the exact quote he gave was, the Ravens won 12 games and should have won 15. The Chiefs won 15 and should have won 12 because of how many of the one-score games the Chiefs won. And we've talked about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just not realistic to win 100% of those. So I thought that was fascinating. And so I'm really interested to hear what the betting line would be if it's Baltimore in Kansas City next week, because a lot of those betting lines are based on yards per play and certain statistical measures like that that are not considered, you know, prone to variance, right? It's not like, well, it could go either way. No. They've run thousands of plays this year, and they average more than half a yard, more than any other team. That's the best team, which I thought was fascinating.
I definitely think, Ross, there's a good chunk of Chiefs fans that would look and say, okay, in a way, I almost want Baltimore to look great against Buffalo, and then everybody says, oh my gosh, this Baltimore team is unstoppable, and then the Chiefs get to actually play an underdog role again in the AFC title game. I think people here would welcome that.
Well, and I have a tough time picturing the Chiefs losing, because I just think whoever wins that Bills game against the Ravens, that's going to take so much out of them, right? I mean, so first of all, the Chiefs are going to have an extra day to kind of rest and prepare. And then secondly, that is going to be a war. That's going to be like as good of a – this is maybe as anticipated of a divisional round matchup as you'll see with the top two vote-getters for MVP. And what's interesting is I go on in Buffalo on Tuesdays. I'm actually going on in Baltimore later today. It's like a crushing, devastating season for whoever loses this game.
Mm-hmm.
But ironically, whoever wins the game, they're going to feel great about it for like 48 hours. And then it's, well, we still got to get over the Chiefs hump. And I think that's asking a lot. To win this game Sunday night and then go to Kansas City and win in Kansas City, that would be super impressive by whoever does it. And frankly, I think the Ravens would have the better chance. It's interesting to hear what you guys say, because the Bills always beat the Chiefs in the regular season for whatever reason, and it feels like the Chiefs have the Ravens' number. Whereas I look at it and think, man, I could see a scenario where the Ravens were able to finally get the Chiefs with Derrick Henry and with that rushing attack.
When we look at the rest of, like, see, this is what it is like when we get to this Texans part, and for Goldeneye, for the Ravens, it's like they've stopped Derrick Henry in the postseason, for one, and we've always said, and I think, Ross, we talked about it with you after the Buffalo loss the week after. We both feel like the one big thing that I think is undervalued in this is Sean McDermott has learned that he has to do everything to win. Like, if it's fourth and two from your own 35, you might just have to go for it. Like, he's finally learned that you can't give Mahomes a second chance.
Yep. I'd like to think that Harbaugh knows that too, or should know that.
Yeah.
You have, and honestly, if you're the Ravens and it's fourth and short, especially, how are you not going for it?
Yeah.
With Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and that rushing attack. I do think on some level you're right, though. The Ravens are a really bad matchup for the Bills, because the Bills, they want to play a nickel. They think they have the best nickel back in the league in Taron Johnson, number 7. They want, and I know he got banged up last week, but they want him to be out there as much as possible. Well, the Ravens aren't going to let you do that. The Ravens have, like, at least two big bodies, meaning two tight ends or a tight end and that fullback, Patrick Ricard, at least two of them out there on every play. And sometimes they'll go three or four. And especially without Zay Flowers, I would think that they would just try to run the ball right down the Bills' throat, and they might be able to.
We're talking to our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, Chiefs-Texans, I know we're talking AFC title game and potential matchups. Should the Texans be getting a little more attention, I would say? We know they played the Chiefs back in Week 16. It was an 8-point win for Kansas City. Some elements of those teams are the same. There's a few changes. Some guys are healthier than they were back then. The Chiefs are as healthy as I think you can be as a playoff team, frankly. Is this Texans team, in your opinion, capable of hanging better than they did in Week 16?
I think so, yes, because I think they have a little bit more confidence now based on how that game went last week, right? You know, you win by 20 points, you win a playoff game, especially one where you were the underdog and people were counting you out. Now those guys have that belief. You know, it's no secret. CJ Stroud will have to have one of the best games of his career, and the Texans will have to find a way to be able to run it a little bit. Their best chance for success is probably defense, right? I mean, you know, somehow get a pick six or a strip sack of Mahomes. The Texans are elite at edge rusher and at corner. Absolutely elite. And by the way, that's not great for the Chiefs with their offensive tackles. So the Texans need Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson to totally, thoroughly dominate that game off the edge, make Mahomes' life miserable, get a strip sack, maybe Stingley or Laster gets a pick six. Because I just don't see the Texans scoring that many points against the Chiefs' defense now that the Chiefs are returning to almost full health.
Are you surprised that Andy Reid is still kicking around DJ Humphries or Joe Tooney at left tackle?
Well, that is if you think that he really is still kicking around.
Yeah. I think they still want DJ Humphries. I think they're really still looking for a reason. That. You think they're just going to start Tooney?
I think it'll be Tooney at left tackle, Caliendo at left guard, because they clearly were performing better those last couple games offensively with those guys there. Now, the thing that's weird about that is it's not like a perfect controlled scientific experiment, because they also had got Hollywood Brown back. But if you look, it's funny because I just finished recording my fantasy show, the Fantasy Feast podcast. Those two games since Hollywood Brown came back, the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, has the quickest time from snap to throw in the NFL. So it's funny because we all think of Mahomes as extending plays and Mahomes running around and making them reckless. Nobody is getting the ball out of their hands since Hollywood Brown came back from injury than Mahomes. So how much of that is because of Hollywood Brown? How much of it is just because they know Tooney's not really a left tackle that's going to be able to hold up in pass pro, 40 times a game for extended time. So it's very, very interesting. Very interesting to see sort of that situation. I would think that they would start with the way they've been going, and then if it's not going well, maybe then put in Humphries. But I'd be surprised if they just put Humphries out there. But it's been 23 days, so maybe.
All right, last one for you before I let you go. Coaching carousel, we know one vacancy has been filled. Another one opened up this week with Dallas. Real quick, what do you think ultimately happens with the Raiders job and the Cowboys job? Those are the two, I think, most interesting in terms of the wide reach maybe of who they could hire.
Yeah, I think the Raiders is going to be Ben Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator. I think Brady's going to get him. I mean, I think that's basically all there is to it. Brady's kind of doing a full court press. And I think as a result, he's going to be able to get Ben Johnson to be the guy in Las Vegas, which is just gigantic. Not good for you guys, because I really do feel like Ben Johnson is special. I think he's as good of a coordinator as we've seen in recent years. And I just think that I think Ben Johnson, like, the time is now. And I think it's either going to be Chicago or the Raiders. And I think they're going to get him with the Raiders because they're going to be able to pitch him on, hey, we'll also help you. You can have some say in who we bring in as the GM, which is not the case in Chicago, where Ryan Poles is the GM. And also, I don't know. Maybe he loves Caleb Williams. Maybe he doesn't. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the Raiders, he could have some input on the quarterback that they bring in.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Appreciate it as always, man. Enjoy the weekend.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Make sure to check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, daily NFL podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As long as the Chiefs keep on winning, we'll keep having Ross Tucker on the show. We'll keep that rolling throughout the postseason.
Working so far.
Yeah, man.
You might remember Ross was the first person ever to say that they couldn't repeat. Couldn't is the way he
said.
About
3-plus years ago.
For the Bucs one. And then we argued, like, you can't say they couldn't. They were in the
and
game.
Now they've gone back-to-back, and they're going for a three-peat. It is.
Honestly, he's been way less on that end. He's been like, no, they can win three in a row.
Yeah. Well, I think if they get to a point where they're in the Super Bowl, we'll definitely have to ask him. Can they three-peat?
Can they three-peat?
Can they actually do it? All right, we're back at it tomorrow. We'll start checking in a little bit on outside Houston and some guests over the rest couple of days, and we'll also go to Buffalo later on in the week. But tomorrow, Dane and Hughes going to join us, Sarah Walsh from NFL Network, as we talk a little bit more about the AFC in particular. The Drive with C.Dot and Rob coming up next.